This year we are breaking slightly with tradition and giving the Ethics in Action Award twice, because we need lots of stories of people taking action in the world that is encouraging and constructive and positive. And so Jim Weber, who is a member of the Board of Trustees, will give the Ethics in Action Award again today. We get a double dose of positivity. Come right up, Jim.
Hello. I'm Jim Weber. I joined the Board of Trustees last year after a close race. I'm delighted to announce that Herb Moyer is the second winner of the FUSE Ethics in Action Award. Yay. Applause. He's not allowed to come up yet because he's videographing us. So he is and has been a school teacher, a photographer, a videographer, an activist, an education technologist, an IBMer, a tech entrepreneur, a learner, a student, a husband of Karen for 47 years?
53.
I missed six. I don't know how. I was counting them. Okay. He's a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. Amazing. A financial profession, and best of all, a member of FUSE. I was overjoyed when Herb joined the church 5 years ago. His service to FUSE is manifested by chronicling Sunday services right here, video and audio, for the last 5 years, by photographing the congregation, both parts and wholes, by serving as an active social justice committee member, by keeping the congregation informed as a trusted hub and distributor of information. He is a hub of this vast network of ideas and events. And I just received three notifications from him yesterday about events, and I already feel guilty. And in terms of his service to the greater community, he is a photographer and videographer, documenting social, cultural, and political events for the Seacoast region. He attends community events, he videotapes them, edits them, and broadcasts them on extra TV cable station, where they then go to the community media site. For instance, he filmed and distributed a recent We the People lecture on climate change. Productivity, imagine 450 or so videos on YouTube. Wow. That's amazing. He's been involved in New Hampshire politics since the 1970s, served 2 years as an ex-selectman, helped his friend Carol Shea Porter get elected time and time again. And his recent letter, you might have seen in the Exeter newsletter, was entitled A Great Sadness in America. So he writes as well as takes pictures. He's currently the president of the Seacoast Anti-Pollution League, and has either been an officer or board since 1970. And as you know, that league is kind of the folks who keep the Seabrook plant somewhat honest. Not too honest. Finally, in addition, he was arrested in 1988 protesting the shrinkage of the emergency planning zone for Seabrook nuclear plant. He was collecting petition signatures at the town dump, and he was arrested. His supporters chanted, "Don't dump Herb." Now, Herb, you may come up. Oh, where'd he go? It's my pleasure to present this memento to Herb. And you'll notice that there's a handcrafted badge here.
I do know. Amazing.
It is amazing.
I know there are people here that are more worthy than I. I simply am so happy to be part of this community. So thank you very much.
Yay!
Are some words that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez shared after being sworn into Congress. "What can I possibly say except thank you? So many people sacrificed so much for this to happen, my mother most of all. My mama was born and raised in Puerto Rico. She practically raised her siblings in poverty, while her own mother worked nonstop to provide food and shelter. She met my father, a Bronx boy visiting Isla family, at a young age. They married and moved to New York City. She didn't even speak English. My parents started from scratch. New languages, new life, new everything. Then came me, and they moved to start over again so I could have an education. Mommy mopped floors, drove school buses, and answered phones. She did whatever she needed to do for me. When my father died, she was left a single mother of two. And again, she had to start over. After he passed, we almost lost our home, so we sold it and started over, and over, and over. It wasn't long ago that we felt our lives were over, but there was only so many do-overs until it was just too late, or too much to take, or we were too spiritually spent. I was scrubbing tables and scooping candle wax after restaurant shifts and falling asleep on the subway ride home. I once got pickpocketed, and everything I earned that day was stolen. That day I locked myself in a room and cried deep. I had nothing left to give or to be, and that's when I started over. I honestly thought, as a 28-year-old waitress, I was too late. The train of my fulfilled potential had left the station. This week, I was sworn in as the youngest woman in America to serve in the United States Congress. I hope that record is broken again soon. As I raised my hand for the oath, my mother held the holy book and looked into Speaker Pelosi's eyes. Afterwards, the speaker said to her, 'You must be so proud,' and my mother began to cry. It was not long ago that our family's hope was so dim it was barely an ember. Darkness taught me transformation cannot solely be an individual pursuit, but also a community trust. We must lean on others to strive on our own. Thank you all, whether it was late nights, hard days, pocket change, emotional investment, hard and soft skills, door knocking in the heat, or petitioning in the bitter cold. We did this together."
It has been pretty stunning to see all of the women who have been who've come into Congress, and it is especially amazing to watch Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez be herself so boldly, so loudly, so publicly, so unapologetically. She is challenging all the systems at once. She's taking on the economic system. She's taking on sexism. She's taking on racism. She's just taking it all on. And she's dancing. Have you seen the videos? There is, of course, first the video that someone posted trying to embarrass her, shame her, I'm not sure. I mean, make her look bad. Which didn't work out for them. And it mostly didn't work out for them because the way she responded to someone trying to make her look bad for dancing was to dance. Have you seen the video of her dancing right through the door to her congressional office? So those of you who have said no, probably the person next to you can connect you to that video, because it's... There's not a good record of this, but I suspect she is the first person to dance into her office. Which is just a total joy. And the other thing is that she's laughing while she's dancing. It's not a... it's not a vengeful dancing. It's joy, and it's life, and it's, I have something I'm intending to do in the world, and here I go to do it. She's also currently proposing a 70% income tax rate on the super wealthy. So she's dancing, but she is not messing around. And I want to be clear, I'm not today really talking about her policies or about her as a, I was going to say candidate, but she's not a candidate anymore. She's a congresswoman. I really want to think about how she does what she does, because I think how she's doing it is some of the most important work. She is a passionate advocate for justice. And she's dancing. She has put those things together. She just is those things together. She just is dancing and justice together. She's playful and lighthearted and very serious and very focused, all in the same breath. And she's pretty at ease doing that very publicly. She just puts it out there. And she is thinking about all of the issues. She's thinking about Medicare. She's thinking about immigration policies. She's thinking about radical action to end climate change. She's willing to challenge anyone about that. And she manages to challenge people without taking them on personally. She wants to talk about the things, the issues, the realities that are important, and then still be connected to people. She's gotten a lot of attention because she has some pretty radical ideas that she is unapologetic about. You take the power out of someone accusing you of being a socialist if you just say, yeah, actually, I'm a socialist. It just, then they can't use it against you anymore because you just have already owned it. Do you remember when liberal became a bad word? I think it would have gone differently if people had just said, oh, yeah, I am. And just refused to let it be anything but just what it is. And I think that's part of how she is so bold, that she doesn't let things get turned against her, and she doesn't believe the insult and the undercutting that comes with what people say. She just doesn't believe it. So when people say really sexist things about her, which they do on a pretty much daily basis, she just doesn't believe it. So her responses are different. They have a different tone and a different lightness, and there's some dancing in them because she doesn't believe the insults, and so she doesn't take them personally, and she doesn't get defensive. So she just sort of hands things back to people, like when someone recently dismissed that idea about a tax cut, or not a tax cut, the opposite of a tax cut. He said that she was apparently it's hard for me to say this. He said she was a little girl with a big mouth. She had already been sworn into Congress at this point. And I got, like, just, oh, about that. But she didn't. Well, she probably did. But in public, she said, well, he is an indication that misogyny should be taxed at 100%. But she didn't insult him personally. She didn't get into a little, well, you're, yeah. She stayed playful, and she stayed focused on what's the bigger issue here. And she worked on that in a way that lets probably everyone except that man laugh about it and get a little space on what it feels like to be targeted and to not believe it and to just send it back and keep being one's self right out loud. She's really taking huge risks every day, but she doesn't look like she's taking huge risks every day. She just looks like she's walking what she believes in and figuring out how to do that in a new role and in a new place and in a new way day after day. It certainly sounds like the content of her politics comes from her family's struggles and her own personal struggles. Her and their ways of figuring out how to make a good life, how to take care of each other, how to live through real suffering and make lives that are worth living. As you heard in the reading a couple of years ago, she was profoundly discouraged about her life, and I think about our country's life. And one of the things that happened is that she took a road trip. It's the thing to do if you're in your 20s and trying to figure something out. She went out to Detroit and looked at what they were doing in response to their water crisis, and she went to Standing Rock. And while she was in those two places, I think particularly in Standing Rock, and watching people who had been systematically shut out of the political system, refusing to be shut out, insisting on standing up and being heard, insisting on working for what they believed in most passionately, even if they didn't know how it would work out. Inventing new ways to be in the conversation. She was so affected by that that she realized that what she had believed for a long time, which was that you have to have money and connections and influence already in order to get into politics and be part of the system, that maybe that wasn't true and that maybe she should try it. And she was right. She should try it because it's clearly what she is meant to do in the world. She just has that capacity to both think about the biggest questions and be herself really boldly and bravely. And to keep dancing. I think there's a reason that they noticed the dancing and tried to use that against her, because it's one of the ways that she shows that she's free, that she's ready to take risks in the world, that she's ready to be brave and just try things, and that she's also so in herself, because you have to be pretty settled in yourself to dance, and to dance in a film that's going to be, you know, is going to be very public. So if you're that settled in yourself, you're really powerful. And I think that's one of the reasons that people picked up on that as a, oh, well, we kind of go after that part of who she was. she just brushed it aside and kept moving. And so I hope that we can offer her some dance music, metaphorically, in this world, and offer each other some of that dance music that settled into ourselves, ready to be brave and bold and beautiful. Take risks and keep dancing, make mistakes, keep dancing, be a little bigger in the world, keep dancing. Totally miss the dance steps, keep dancing. I think as a congregation, we're at one of these moments when we're stepping out a little, and it can feel a little frightening. And of course, the world around us is full of this struggle between the system that's not working and people who are beginning to figure out how to move around it in different ways. Every time we figure out how to be brave and keep dancing, we connect to the other people who are doing that, who are making more possible in the world.
Good morning. We're in a little bit of a process here. I have my Robert's Rules of Order in plain English, if we need it. This is a special meeting specifically to vote on one issue, which is the renovation of this house. We have a few little housekeeping things to take care of before we begin. One is we're going to be figuring out if we have a quorum, which I certainly believe we do. You can only vote at this meeting if you are a member. You are a member if you have signed the book. If you have not signed a book, that may be the one ritual that is designating you as a member. And so if you're here and haven't signed the book, then you're certainly very invited to listen and be part of this. But in terms of voting, that is reserved for members only. There is a sign-up sheet going around in terms of the members. We need to have a quorum is of 40 members. That will be designated as we sign the sheet. And there are some folks who have left proxy votes as well. And is Jonathan Windsor here? Is the carrier of the proxies, I understand? He's out back. We all probably ought to get him. Things may move very quickly here, so... the other order of business is that I am not your elected moderator in the annual meeting. In order for me to moderate this meeting, I just need to put forth and see if there are any objections to me being the moderator. Any objections to that?
Can you dance?
I can do the Elaine dance. So, the sign-up sheets are going around. Let me just give you a little background of how we're going to do this in terms of this special meeting. We'll get the quorum, make sure we have that. Then there will be a motion from the floor by Jan Stevens, who is a member of the board. I will ask if there is any debate on this. If there is any debate, there will be time for that, and then we will bring it to a vote. The vote is a simple majority vote to pass, and that is the only business that will come before us. So maybe to kind of deal with this, I know people need to sign in, but could the folks here who are members please just stand up, and if we could do a quick count, we could move this along. So now that you're standing, if you could just count off, this is where we're all going to participate. We're going to start at one and just count off yourself. So one, two, three. So let's see if we can get through this. Would you like?
Two, three, four,
five, six,
seven, eight,
nine, ten,
11,
12,
13,
14,
15,
16,
17,
18,
19,
20,
21, 22, 23, 24,
Yes. Okay. Yes. Just don't all vote against it if you aren't part of it. So. Okay. Great. So we do have a quorum. Jonathan, how many proxy votes are you aware of that people are holding? 10 proxy votes in addition to that. Great. Jan, are you able and willing to, I would ask for a motion from the floor.
Good.
Yeah, I'll go up. Hi, I'm Jan Stevens, and I'm a member of the board. And just want to say that I'm super excited today. And I haven't been in the church as long as several people that have been working on this whole project for years and years and years. So to be to this place is a miraculous thing. And it's wonderful for our congregation. So I want to put forward the following motion. Let's see. Will the congregation of the First Unitarian Universalist Society of Exeter approve proceeding with the renovation plan as recommended by the renovations committee and approved by the Board of Trustees? The renovation plan is as shown in schematic drawings and related narratives that have been posted in advance of this meeting. The cost for implementation for implementing the renovation will be funded from the capital campaign fund that has been established for this purpose. The renovation plan is subject to modification based on bids received for construction and on funds available. I so move.
Is there a second? We have a second. Thank you. This is a wordy motion, of course, but I would like to just open it up for debate. Is there any debate on this motion? People really want coffee, huh? In that case, I will move to a vote. We would like to do a voice vote. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Is that a one proxy? That's a one proxy? Okay. The ayes have it. The motion is carried. And thank you very much. Sorry, is there a motion to adjourn this special meeting? Second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, aye.
Some sparkling ginger beer.